first episode of Procedurally Generated, our newly renamed podcast. Please bear with us as we're going to be transitioning over the next few weeks to the new naming. Anyways, I'm Henry Bell, and joining me in studio today are Tom Schreier, John Carson, and Max Hamilton. It's been kind of an interesting news week this week with a lot of stories that are developing, and so we're going to keep it to the stuff that we know for sure. I want to get things started with new news about the Destiny DLC and microtransactions changes. And John, I think you are the one who's most knowledgeable on this, so you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, so Bungie came out this week announcing their plans for microtransactions for Destiny. Now, their plan for it is to reestablish an old shopkeeper that used to be in vanilla Destiny named Tess. What she'll be selling are emotes and potentially skins for your Sparrow, which is your space motorcycle thing.
Sure. Yeah, your mount, basically.
Your mount, yes. The difference between these items and other items in the game is that you pay for them with a new currency called silver. Silver is going to be purchased with real money, which then you can purchase new emotes.
Sure.
What's kind of nice about it is, partnered with this, they said that in lieu of releasing paid content updates like they did in the last year for Destiny, they're actually going to be releasing free quests and other story content and having these microtransactions kind of cover the cost of that.
So basically my understanding is there will not be paid story content until Destiny 2 releases next fall.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Now, I'm curious, though. You said quests. I noticed there was a little bit of an omission there. What about raids, which is what the new DLCs are usually really focused on?
They haven't said that yet. I guess with my educated guess would be that a new raid might be part of that.
Right.
But they haven't said one way or another. Just kind of looking back on their first expansion last year, they did have a raid involved. Couldn't tell you if they're going to or not.
When did the Dark Below launch?
I want to say it was Dark Below is December.
Okay.
Or November of last year.
I think it might have been. Yeah, I think it was right around there. And so I'm just curious. So it seems likely that this is. I'm wondering if maybe they didn't have everything ready, or if this is because. I mean, what do you think like drove this change? It doesn't seem like Destiny's particularly hurting.
I think it's so they could keep their player base together, like going through the new content.
Sure.
I mean, MMOs have kind of done this, WoW's done this. Every time there's an expansion, you have that paid expansion, and then there's content releases every few months with...
Sure, but WoW also has a monthly fee, which is how they keep those, you know, all the new code and stuff, like, funded.
But also, when you have new emotes and dances and stuff like that that you can purchase with real money, they're kind of targeting the whales...
Sure. I'm interested, though. I would like to see, you know, they usually will add up all of the DLC and stuff and just kind of give you an idea of how much it would cost to get everything. I'd be curious to see that, especially because I do kind of have trouble believing that. I mean, what, like 60% of the year one group bought both DLCs, I'd say, roughly.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious, will they make more money with these microtransactions? Do you think that many people really give a crap about, like, the color of your motorcycle?
It depends on what they end up selling.
Sure.
So
well, they said emotes, skins for your motorcycle.
Sparrow.
Yep. And also...
Get it right.
Did they say anything about shaders?
I didn't see anything about shaders. They do actually sell shaders with another vendor already for Glimmer and other in-game currencies.
Sure, I was presuming that they would be new shaders.
Oh, probably.
Not I would be pretty mad, actually, if they took existing content and made it paid.
But I think all they've said so far is just Sparrow things and emotes.
I mean, people put a lot of time into this game, and maybe it's more meaningful if this is your main game, and this is where you spend most of your time when you're playing Xbox or PlayStation or whatever. Maybe you want a different looking Sparrow or you want different emotes just to give you something different.
Right.
Because that's the problem with that game is that, where I'm at and I've just started the Taken King content, like it's pretty fun because there's cinematics and it's different, backgrounds and all this different, even in the Crucible, there's different modes or whatever.
Yep.
But I think as I play it more and I've started a Warlock, so I used the light thing, emote of light or whatever, got to level 25 with that. And then I have level 36 or something. Titan, I'll probably max those guys out, and I think towards the end of that, I'll probably be like, okay, I want to see something different. I don't know if I'll ever use the microtransactions, but I like that I don't have to, because I'll get that new content for free.
What's nice about this, too, is they also said they're going to drop a few silver into your accounts. to test it out.
One time only. Though,
one time only, but
it.
You could get the emotes that you really want
sure.
from it and kind of you don't need to spend any money on it.
I wonder if they'll be putting the emotes from the special edition into it.
Well, they did say things like that. They didn't say if it was exactly those
sure.
chances.
It'd be kind of a slap in the face to the people that got suckered into the special edition.
I disagree strongly. I think that that's the consumer friendly thing to do.
Make it available.
Yeah, it's not like they're giving it away for free. That right. would be a slap yeah. in the face. But to say that you have to pay for it anyways, especially if the cost ends up being roughly the same, yeah. like who cares? I mean, I don't know. That's just my take on it. I don't understand the idea of paying for an emote anyways coming from.
Oh no, absolutely yeah. not. I guess in just broader general speaking terms. When I hear that something's exclusive, I honestly think, like, if you are part of a special group that pre-orders something, not necessarily story content, but, like, an emblem or a color or, like, you know, something like that,
you seen any game release since, like,
No, I understand Fallout? That. I understand that. I'm just saying, like, it would be cool if there were actually legitimately exclusive items.
Oh, I disagree strongly. That increases the power of the pre-order. I mean, that encourages pre-order, which is the opposite of what consumers should want. I mean, I feel like when you look at something like, even like I said, Fallout, you know, you had all those courier packs and stuff like that. Well, a lot of that is free now on Steam. It's just right. free DLC.
Right.
And like, I think that's totally fine, especially because for the most part, that kind of stuff is not, I mean, I don't really feel all that bad if you're boohooing about your emotes because yeah. they're emotes. I mean, right. like John has said before, is like, you know, it's not like it's changing the game
it's
or anything.
Not.
It's just something fun and cosmetic. I understand the idea of wanting to be in a unique club, but don't you already have that with like special emblems from when you pre-ordered the original Destiny and stuff like that?
Yeah, or also just things that you do in the game will get you special emblems.
Right, like
too.
I saw somebody who had a cool gold one that my roommate was telling me is like from beating the final raid boss or yeah. something like that from year one. And so I feel like there are good enough ways. I mean, like even Steam does little things, you know, when they updated Team Fortress 2, like I think it's a badge or something that says I'm like a super old veteran because I bought it when it was cost money and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so they do tend to do little things to at least give you a little status symbol, but I don't necessarily think that gating like real content outside of like an emblem is, I guess I just said emotes aren't real content,
right.
but realer. There, it's a scale though. I mean, like emotes are more of content, I would say, than like shaders, for example.
Sure. Fair.
But I can understand where you're coming from though, because they did kind of imply that these were going to be like there was with all the kerfuffle that went out about it, yeah. people were pretty mad. We'll see if they actually decide to bundle them in. I'm just speculating at
yeah.
the moment.
The raid thing does matter though, because that is content that like I'd be upset if I had to pay for. Because you do pay like $60 base, $40 for this.
Well, you had to pay for it in year one. I mean, you get one raid. That's the deal. Which I personally, coming from like World of Warcraft, I think that's insane
yeah.
that you only get one raid with your $60 purchase. But people don't seem all that bothered to buy it. I assume it's mostly just because this is all they know for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But previously, you had to pay three times to get three raids, so I don't think it's that surprising.
Yeah, and that may be where the controversy kicks in. Like,
sure.
For a lot of people.
If they really want to get people on their side, they should release the raid content free, because
right.
that would interest even me.
And I hope that's their plan with all of this.
Yes.
Like, by saying that we're releasing quests and other just playable content for free, like I hope a raid's included in there. There was technically only one other raid. Besides the Vault of Glass that came with Destiny. So.
Sorry.
Oh yeah, not to.
That I mean, if well no, that's fine with me. I mean, I was trying to give Destiny the benefit of the doubt
sure.
for once. I mean, let's be honest, you guys all know how I really feel about Destiny.
Yep.
So, but yeah, so
remind
that's,
us.
I don't like it, but yeah, that's.
Everyone, turn off the podcast for about 30 seconds. Well,
no.
Henry just vents.
I've gotten that pretty much out of my system. People know where I stand on it, but I do think that they're doing some cool user friendly stuff and. Once, you know, in a year or two, once it's totally just WoW again, then maybe I will like
yeah.
it. But it is, I mean, all my complaints are slowly but surely, hopefully, going to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have one last question before we move on to the next topic. I'm just curious. Do you guys think that this is because of all the pressure we've seen from gaming sites and stuff lately, comparing things like The Witcher 3's free patches to Destiny specifically? Like, I've seen a ton of articles come out in the last 6 months in particular that have been just complaining about the lack of free updates and stuff like that in Destiny specifically, juxtaposing the two games, Witcher 3 in particular. Do you guys think that had any effect on them?
It is a different game, but they're both, you know, two big time-consuming games. There may be some truth to that. Rockstar did a good job with this, too, with Grand Theft Auto, where you got a whole bunch of free content.
That's another great example.
And I think that's... I don't know if that's a direct correlation, but if I had to choose to play between the two games, I guess I'd play Grand Theft Auto if I'm getting more content for free there.
Sure, although, to be fair, you're right. That is kind of an apples and oranges comparison. The idea being more like, should developers support like long-term life of a $60 release that's not... If you can support The Witcher, which is a single-player game, then theoretically you'd expect an online game to get a fair amount of post-patch support.
And to be fair, Grand Theft Auto also had microtransactions. You could get the planes and stuff like that.
Yep,
yeah,
that is very true.
I would say, to be more fair, too, Witcher does have paid expansions coming out.
Yeah, that's true, but nobody said they didn't. I mean, here's the thing. You could never get the expansions, and you'd get so much free content that would last you for ages. I mean, they have so much new stuff
released
already.
And hopefully this is just a reversal of what's going on. So, like, where Destiny did have paid expansions, you could have spent upwards of $160 on that on the last year of Destiny if you did everything piecemeal.
Let's also be clear, though. Destiny's quote-unquote expansions are not really expansions in the traditional sense. They're DLC.
Yeah.
I mean, and that, like, The Witcher, I have a feeling, are going to be much more substantial expansions than just adding in a raid and a couple
quests.
They've
been saying, like, 9 hours or so.
Yeah.
Which for most games is an entire game.
Exactly. And, I mean, I'm guessing fully new zones and stuff like that for at least to some degree.
I haven't looked into it too much.
I presume because that's generally how almost all expansions tend to work. But yes, exactly. I mean, you're right. They are going to have paid expansions. I really hope that we don't see the dilution of the concept of an expansion too much. I really like that expansions had actually been moving sort of towards standalone in the last few years, like Far Cry Blood Dragon or even like Cities Skylines After Dark, I think, is standalone original.
I thought that was I thought you needed Cities Skylines for that.
I own them both, so I could be I could be mistaken on that.
But things like Freedom Cry and Get Out of Hell,
exactly.
All those things are expansions, but you could purchase them and just play.
Which is pretty darn cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, let's move things along. We actually had one more bit of very interesting news. The new Far Cry game has been leaked, then announced. Far Cry Primal. It's going to be Far Cry, but in the Stone Age. What do you guys think? We've seen the trailer so far, and it looks different.
I'm excited. My one concern, which has been voiced online a little bit, is that... it's a reskinning, in effect, because apart from the location, a lot of the guns and animals from Far Cry 3 to 4 were quite similar.
Yeah, definitely.
And going into Primal, I mean, and I talked with John about this before the show, but, you know, mammoths or elephants, saber-toothed tigers or, can you guess, tigers?
Sure, although, to be fair, the mammoths, like, from what we saw in the trailer,
quite
which
bigger.
Did have some in-engine stuff, not just bigger, but, like, clearly the way you take them down is totally different.
Oh, right, yes, and there's going to be changes and stuff. It is a full release. They did confirm that. It's going to be a $60 full expansion. A couple people thought it would be, like, a spin-off, like Blood Dragon, before the next numbered
installment. When you say expansion, do you mean sequel?
Sequel. But, yeah, it's not going to be just, like, a mini DLC like Blood Dragon. I'm excited, but I'm just, you know, how many blunt weapons can keep that exciting?
And we'll spears are blunt, but
they,
sure.
That's going to be your one ranged weapon.
They do kind of
bow.
Hint at 4-player multiplayer
probably
in there,
darts.
Which seems pretty cool. They had 2-player multiplayer in Far Cry 4, correct?
Yeah, it was kind of weird though, but yeah, they did have it.
Yeah. I just want dinosaurs.
I mean, there might be. There's dinosaurs in Blood Dragon, so maybe they'll make an appearance here.
Yeah, actually, that would
it's a dragon.
Yeah, but... I wonder if they will have dinosaurs. I wonder I wonder how historically accurate they're going for. Knowing them, probably not too much.
I hope that it's the story of the people who built the towers that you climb in Far Cry 4 to see the entire map.
Isn't that just the story of Ubisoft?
Yeah. Well, now it's going to be Ubisoft climbing to the top of a tree to see what you can see.
So.
But it does have some pretty cool night gameplay aspects. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you all saw the trailer yet, but there's parts where it talks about fire is going to be a key resource in, one, diverting animals to where you want them or enemies, but also surviving the night and keeping yourself warm and things like that. So it sounds like there's some survival elements.
Yeah, it's cool. Honestly, it kind of seems like Ark meets Far Cry 4, like just kind of a mashup. I was talking to John about this a little bit. It's kind of funny. We've seen so many of these prehistory games come out since Ark. And what were you saying might have been the catalyst?
Monster Hunter?
Yes, you were saying that they have very Monster Hunter-esque
like,
combat.
Like this and Horizon, you're fighting giant prehistoric-ish animals with a group. So
yeah, and so it's very interesting. And it looks like for those animal lovers out there, this is definitely going to be a skip. It looks like they're going to have even more emphasis on killing and skinning a whole menagerie of different animals.
Yep.
So, it looks pretty interesting. We don't know a ton about it, but...
comes out in February, so we'll be seeing that really soon.
Exactly. So I'm pretty excited. So that's pretty much it for concrete news this week. We had a couple other stories that were sort of ephemeral at the current moment, but we're hoping that they're going to become a little clearer next week and we can talk about them. So I would like to move on to what we've been playing. And this week, switch things up, I am going to get things started with 20XX.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, which I played.
What's that game,
John's
Henry?
Recommendation. So, as you guys know, it is a Mega Man X sort of clone, spiritual successor type thing. And pretty much everything that you guys said was accurate. So mm-hmm. It definitely looks like a Flash game, which is probably its weakest point.
Yeah.
However, the controls are incredibly responsive. The upgrades are fun. The characters play completely differently. The levels are diverse. I see the Rogue Legacy aspect with the way the boss fights are structured, but I'm okay with it. I had a lot of fun. I probably played it for about 8 hours, although since I finished that 8 hours, I haven't really had any huge inclination to pick it back up.
It is still in early access, so we'll see what they...
Sure, although it looks like mostly the early access is to put in the
like
multiplayer, which
stuff,
I actually don't want multiplayer in my Mega Man at all.
Like, I saw some of it. It's like you could have each person playing each character.
Unless you can have each person playing different levels, I'm not that.
No, it's like couch co-op.
In platformers with disappearing platforms and things like that, I'm not a huge fan of having to wait for my buddy.
Yeah.
Ooh, what if they're never waiting for you, Henry? Are you that good of a gamer?
Well, platformers were my bread and butter when I was growing up. But also you can wall jump. So, yes, I love games where you can wall jump. I'm fairly good at those. But yeah, so 20XX was fun. I would probably say for most people, maybe hold off till it gets out of early access and they put in a couple more items, because that was one other issue that I had with it was I unlocked everything in about 8 hours, which was neat, but I expected... I'm spoiled from Binding of Isaac, but I expected
There's so much
stuff, and it took almost no time to get everything.
When did you start playing Isaac? Was it after the first expansion? Or
I actually first played Isaac. Maybe am I crazy? I feel like I first played it as a Flash game.
Yeah. It ran on Flash until Rebirth.
I feel like I played like a demo of it in a Flash browser.
That sounds right. Because they carried forward that whole game being in
Didn't
Flash.
Did that come from Newgrounds? I feel like I played it on Newgrounds or something like that at first. And then I played very briefly when it first launched on like consoles and stuff. And kind of liked it. But then when they re-released it with Rebirth, I really, really enjoyed Rebirth. And I played a lot of that one. Like I said before, I'm not a fan of Flash-style animation, and so in games at least, and so I was kind of turned off to the original Binding of Isaac, especially because it has a very kind of gross aesthetic. Putting it in 8-bit made it much more palatable for me. And I don't know. It also added a lot more.
Definitely. It's another basically third of the game that they patched onto it.
And so many new items and just new characters, and it was a roguelike done well.
It's my game of the year last year.
Yes, probably my favorite roguelike now that I think about it. But so 20XX, pretty good. Probably want to wait for it to release before you shell out money unless you're a giant Mega Man X fan.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty cool. However, I know that Tom finally got into some Destiny.
I'm actually playing a recent game or however you want to put it.
I'm so proud of you.
I have been playing Hearthstone. I guess that's sort of kind of recent.
We'll come back to that, though. Let's talk a little bit about Reaper of Souls.
Tell me about New Vegas.
Reaper of Souls. Let's talk a little bit about the Taken King.
The Taken King, yeah. So, I mean, I played through the first couple levels there, and I think it's... the Taken themselves, I don't think are that exciting. You know, they're essentially the same characters, just they look like ghosts.
Yeah, they have different moves and stuff.
Yeah.
When you first come up against the phalanx, the dude with the shield, and you're like, oh, I'm just going to run up and just shoot his arm, and then he just blasts you back with his shield.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It's good.
But... Yeah, that's a fun mechanic, and it's still fun. Kind of like what I said before, you appreciate more the... the effort that was put into kind of the levels that were made and the mechanics right. of the game. And they should have had cinematics before. I mean, as much as I enjoy them now and I think they did a really good job, that should have been in the game when it first released.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the one flip side I understand some people are saying is that, like, when you're playing co-op, especially if one person's already seen them, it's kind of a pain in the ass, but you can always, you know, skip through them or whatever. But yeah, no, I like it. I think it's brought me back into it, and I would have been really upset when I first saw you guys posted the microtransactions article. Yep. I thought that was actually for kind of the next game release more than, you know, emotes and stuff. And I was like, right when kind of I was enjoying it, it would have been such a buzzkill to be like, okay, well, I don't really want to shell up more for this content.
Right.
But I think they did it really well. I think I'll be hooked on it. I have one guy who's like at 36, so you level up pretty quick in that game. I think all of them at 40 pretty soon. And then the nice thing about having that emote of light or whatever is that I could create a warlock, and I kind of always wanted to see what that guy would do.
They're really fun. You should.
And here's the thing. If that game wouldn't have improved, I probably wouldn't have created another character because I didn't want to spend more time on the game. So they've done it really well. This is the game that I thought I was purchasing when I originally, you know, purchased Destiny.
It only took a year.
Yeah.
And another $60.
That's pretty exciting. You mentioned that the Fallen,
the Taken
were not super interesting, and that actually reminded me of one observation I did make. Sorry, I know I said I wouldn't be negative about Destiny.
Go ahead.
So I haven't actually told this, but watching my roommate play, I've now fallen asleep watching him 4 or 5 times, and it's because, oh my God, who was in charge of the art direction for this game? The color palette and the environments all look exactly the same. Yeah. Exactly the same. It's exhausting to watch. It hurts my eyes to watch, like, characters running, like, gray characters running through gray environments with gray mist, and then the Taken are all gray, and then they have the ability that blinds you, and 3/4 of your, or 90% of your screen turns
so
gray,
much.
And it makes you sick to your stomach.
Those captains.
Like, I just want to say, it is, like, as somebody who just watches, for the most part, Destiny, it is one of the worst games I've ever had the misfortune of watching, because I literally am sitting in my seat nodding off. I'm doing the high school, like, I'm awake. I'm awake. What's going on?
I would say this. I think we talked about how it's played and how that the one-player mode has gotten better. That's still not what it's about. Like, it's the game, I think, is really meant
well,
for...
this is watching raids and stuff, too, that I'm falling asleep. I mean, because they are also incredibly repetitive. And for some reason, and this is not maybe this is just the group that I've been watching, but Destiny players seem to struggle with some pretty basic raid rules.
I mean, it's a shooter, so...
Yeah, I guess it attracts a different crowd than something like Warcraft.
Yeah.
I just, when I think about the fact that back in the day we were coordinating 40 people with the same kind of important roles as Destiny has 6, and I watch my roommate's, you know, group wipe on a new boss 10 times in a row and then quit, I'm just like, there's only 2 mechanics to this boss. Well, whatever. It's interesting. I think part of it, too, is that people have never really learned to specialize because there's no roles, really, in Destiny.
Right.
Like, you know, you can be the guy that dunks on the new boss or whatever. However, you're not a healer or a tank. Like, you're all just DPS, and you're used to just kind of being part of the pack for the most part.
There are some subclasses that are more support-based. Like, at least for my Stormcaller, every time I kill an enemy... I generate an orb with the super attack where you're doing the chain lightning thing. You're just pumping out orbs for people to use their
Palpatine.
Supers. Yeah, it's great. I'm a robot, though.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. So you're more Darth Vader, but with Force Lightning.
Yeah.
But, it's pretty neat. My roommate is also running a Warlock, but he's running Void, I think, whatever the Void build is.
That's, Void Walker?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sounds like a Warcraft thing to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, the one that like he can like throw like artilleries of void attacks and stuff. And
that's
so really that's pretty sweet. I actually like that one a lot. But Stormcaller is probably my favorite just because of the Force Lightning, like just flying around shooting lightning and everything.
And to what you said before, I think it really is trying to reach people kind of more at the margins. There's games out there that are more hardcore and that you'd have to coordinate a little bit more. And I think the best part of it is maybe that you could have one person who's really, you know, like plays a lot of, you know, plays it all the time and you play it a little bit. and you can still find a way for both of you to benefit from playing, you know, in the same fire team or something like that.
Well, yeah, maybe not in a raid, though, which is kind of my point, is, like, you can have three extremely experienced players, but in raids, everyone has to do their
job. That's fair enough.
One kill often means everyone has to just wipe.
I'm talking the grinding, I guess, more, and that's a big part of
the
game.
Well, I'll be interested to hear more about what you think on this once you've gotten to the new raid content, because I'm sure they've changed it up quite a bit from the first one. John, you can weigh in on that real quick. How much have raids changed in between the two?
I haven't played any of the raids. So
I haven't as well. You know why? Because I'm waiting for matchmaking. Getting on it, Bungie.
Yeah, that's,
make
that's a fair point.
How long would it take to get to a raid?
I don't either.
From like level 25.
So it took me about a week, actually, to get leveled for the raid.
For you, Tom, probably a couple months.
Years. Don't be generous.
You're R40 now, right?
He's 36. I have one character who's like 36, but that's probably 15 minutes.
You know, here's one thing. You should probably stop leveling multiple characters if you are and actually get to the raid.
Let him play the way he wants.
Well, he asked for a time frame, but if he's breaking the rules, then we can't.
I was saying
E4
so
years.
So my level 36 character, not too far.
It looks best as I can tell. It takes about a week to get your light geared for raids.
So
a week or two, depending on your
from
weapon
the day that
stuff.
The Taken King came out. I think I was like level 31 or something, hit 40, and then just did
240 is the light level you have to have.
280.
Yeah.
So all I did were some strikes here and there, and like whatever the once I got to 240 to do the heroic stuff, the heroic missions. Just started doing those. Based on your light level, they'll drop new items for you that are potentially better. So once you start getting to that point, you're fine. Also, by doing the heroic stuff and doing strikes, you end up getting strange coins, which then you can buy exotic gear every week. So that helped me out a lot.
If you played like John did, it should take you about a week and a half. If you play like you do, I'd say about a month.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Which isn't bad. You could always find people at that point.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think I can have fun playing that game without the raid because the Crucible is better and stuff like that.
And don't rush too much, bud. Once you finish the raid, the game's over until new content comes out, ostensibly.
Yeah.
There's not
much
really
you want to keep going back to the Crucible.
Trust me, not rushing is not my issue here.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure you remember or keep in mind, because I think a lot of people have a tendency in all MMOs to rush to the end and then complain about lack of content, and this game has the biggest lack of content I think I've ever seen for end game.
To interject quickly, John, have you encountered the sleeper stimulant yet?
I have not. I haven't played Destiny in about a week and a half, but there was a big thing about this exotic weapon called the sleeper.
Is that the one they data mined for or whatever?
Yeah, so there had been pictures out in pre-release content, and there was like this one exotic that no one knew where to find
it. Right, it sounds like the first one was just gotten today or yesterday.
Yeah, there was a subreddit actually that was just dedicated to finding the sleeper simulant, and yesterday or 2 days ago there was a quest that popped up for a daily quest, and someone figured out how to get the gun from it. So,
and it's basically like one-shotting everything, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like supposed to shoot a giant beam. That beam will ricochet a few times. You can upgrade it so it ricochets more.
There's only like three shots. Action or something. Or?
It's a fusion rifle, I want
to
say.
Tell me something that means rifle. A little more to me.
Fusion rifles, Henry?
No, I mean I don't.
It's like a rail gun.
It's your primary though.
It's like a charge.
Gotcha.
I believe.
Yep. Kind of like Spartan lasery?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot like Spartan lasery. Holy crap. It's like they made a Halo game.
What? They're not supposed to do that anymore.
Oh, my God.
They don't own that.
Dude, if you just feel that way, don't play the PvP because it's straight up Halo. But, so that's really interesting. And like I said last week, I really like the idea that they're putting in these little tricks and stuff like that. Although now that the data mining has occurred, I wonder if there's going to be any more that aren't patched in. Like, I'm guessing that and the item we talked about last week are probably going to be pretty much the full extent of it. I mean,
until they start dropping this new stuff.
That's
there might
exactly.
Be.
Until they put in new content, though. Mm-hmm. I think that they found all the secrets.
But, like, people are finding weird secret rooms that lead to nowhere in the raid. And
I heard about that. The one where you, like, you get hit by a piston off a cliff, and if you opened a door, then you go through a wall and, like, land in another room or something.
That has, like, another puzzle in there, but there's nothing going on there.
Interesting.
And I think Bungie came out, like, talking about this mystery room, just saying that there's nothing there.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
look, nothing
I remember
there.
Ironforge Airport, okay? Like, yep. I get it. Like, there's sometimes developers just dick around.
They said they do it for fun, so.
Yeah, exactly.
It's cool that people are finding that stuff, and it kind of sucks that there's no reward for it, but it's kind of still awesome that it's there.
For sure. All right, well, let's move along. John, what else have you played?
Would you guys want to know about Star Wars?
Or... I did just say let's move along.
Or
what?
Is that a Star Wars reference?
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Okay.
Right. Just, yep. just tell us about
that. That was clever. Movies.
My nerd cred just dropped.
Revo.
Minus 15 DKP. Get out.
So today the beta started for Star Wars Battlefront on PS4, Xbox One. Tom, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry about your Xbox One copy of it.
What happened? Oh, yeah. That didn't work.
It doesn't work. Yeah.
That sucks.
And then on PC as well. It's free to anyone. So you can go and download it and check it out.
Oh, it is an open beta?
It's open.
Okay.
Almost for you, just go to Origin, download it.
I hope I can meet the system requirements. Somehow I doubt
it. It is pretty.
So I downloaded it on PC and on PS4. My computer runs it pretty all right on PC. And I cranked it to high settings. There's an automatic setting, too, but I didn't see what that looked like. I just went in and just, let's see what this thing can do.
What do you think?
It looks really nice. It's pretty fun. The guns, at least from the two that I've unlocked, none of them have a set amount of bullets. It's more on a overheat cooldown.
Okay.
So like if you shoot it rapidly enough, you'll need to
plasma rifle.
Yeah, exactly. You'll need to hold square to cool it off.
Oh, interactive cool off. Interesting.
Yep. So the two modes that they have right now are drop zone, which escape pods will drop on the map, and your team will have to go and recover it. Once you're recovering, obviously you have to defend it for a certain amount of time. Whoever gets the most by the end of the game wins. The other one is called Walker Assault. I haven't played that one yet, but it has AT-ATs, and that's pretty rad.
You said that it has AT-ATs. Do we know now for sure that their vehicles are not just spread in regular levels? Are they all from basically kill streaks? It sounds like.
I don't know. I haven't experienced it yet.
Okay.
So I haven't.
I watched about an hour and a half of footage of it last night. I haven't gotten it yet because I didn't realize it was an open beta.
Yeah.
But it looks interesting, but it does look like the vehicles are much more restrictive than a typical Battlefield game.
Right, and at least the map that I played on for Drop Zone, it's pretty small, but it is a King of the Hill style
mode. Was it
mode.
That like kind of mountainous?
It was like a lava planet sort
not
of thing.
Oh, okay. I saw then. Okay. Cool.
I can't remember the name of it, but it almost looks like the planet where Anakin was pushed into the lava.
Did it look like a Star Wars environment?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
That's good.
But also, like, you don't see many front lines stuff in Star Wars movies, so, like, the feel of it's different. You're just kind of ragged rebel soldiers fighting against stormtroopers or vice versa.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it plays well. The shooting feels pretty all right. I can understand why no one gets shot by blasters in the movies.
How does it, like, act? I mean, like, so first of all, I want to make sure everyone knows. Like, we should probably give a couple disclaimers for people who are interested based on this. Check out the beta because it's free. But if you miss the beta or you're listening to this in the future, make sure you're aware that there are no classes.
Right.
The vehicles are fairly limited. Mm-hmm. It sounds like they did a little bit less with the Force users to some extent.
Yeah, the Force users, as far as I know, are power-ups.
Exactly.
Essentially. So.
And which Battlefront 2 was kind of like that, but it sounds like they're more temporary even.
It's more like a Battlefield game than Battlefront.
Yes.
Was.
What I'm hearing mostly is this game should have been called Battlefield Star Wars Edition rather than Battlefront, because it has a lot more in common with Battlefield than Battlefront.
The closest thing that they have for Battlefront is you can change the camera to third person if you want.
Yes,
so,
and that is
how do the does it change nicely? Does it look good? First, third? Any
it looks
preference?
Great. Like your character looks good. Aiming's fine. If you want like aiming down the sights, first person's gonna obviously be more helpful for that. But if you want it to feel a little bit more like Battlefront did, third person works great.
Sure. Okay.
Sure. One more or a couple more things that people should know about it, though. No Galactic Conquest mode. No single player campaign.
They have some single player stuff.
No single player campaign.
Have they come out to say that?
Wait, I thought
yes.
They did.
There's no campaign.
They definitely confirmed that.
Oh, okay.
So it looks like it's missing some bells and whistles, but maybe, you know, we live in a brave new world. Maybe it'll all be DLC.
But it's been fun enough to...
I hope.
It's been fun enough to play so far.
You can make your own campaign with
your
friends.
Well, here's the question. You say it's been fun enough to play. Now, knowing you, the answer is an automatic yes, but to an average consumer, would you say that beyond getting it for free, is it worth $60?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
I haven't played this other Walker, so they have, like, the squadron fighting modes. What else? They have various modes.
Yeah, there were probably 10.
I mean, I'm going to pre-order this, and there's nothing any of you can do to stop it.
No, that's fine.
You may regret it.
No, I mean...
I pre-ordered Unity, and I didn't regret that.
Why pre-order digital games?
My question is, should I... And we kind of brought this up off-air, but should I be concerned that, like, the beta didn't work? You know what I mean? Like, I logged in, I downloaded
Well, I mean, that...
A little, yeah.
To be fair, the point of a beta test is server stress.
Stressing
and
it,
that was probably... being addressed.
This is also the first day of the open beta.
How long is it?
It's till the 12th.
Okay.
I mean, it's got to be one of the most anticipated titles of the year.
Right, exactly. So when they announce that it's open on all three platforms, just go find the beta and download it. Of course, there's going to be some traffic. But
definitely. Yeah. Although, like, let's keep in mind, too, Battlefield has a history of poor server
That's kind
of
why I brought it up.
Like, launches. I honestly say, for me at least, this is going to be a day one purchase, mm-hmm. not a pre-order. That's right. For sure.
I'm going to play it one time and then pre-order it.
God, cool. You guys are
I'm messing, I'm messing, I'm messing, I'm messing.
It does come out
joking.
I'm going to pre-order it and then not play it.
That sounds like mean. Just tapping into the John Carson special, play about an hour.
You guys make me so sad.
Just going to do that and then go get Tony Hawk.
All right, well... Does anybody want to say anything else real quick about Battlefront?
Oh, just a couple things for like customization. They don't have actual character customization in the game right now for the beta.
Sure.
But they do have weapons that you can unlock as you rank up. They have what they call your hand, and you unlock cards that are... They have this thing called a hand. It's on your body. It's
clever.
On your limbs. But it's things like grenades or thermal detonators or... more primitive guns that actually use bullets instead of blasters.
Oh,
which
sure.
is kind of
objects you would use with your hand.
Right, exactly. And then modifications to your weapons, like an ion blast or other...
How do those unlock?
Just through your ranks, and then you get money by playing.
Do you get to choose the order they unlock in, or is it a forced order?
There's at least in the beta, you only have like 5 ranks, I think, that you can get to, and they have a list of like which ones rank up or unlock at 2... Three,
so
four,
it
and
so you do, so it, this is
but
coming
you,
back to the old like you might have to get 4 or 5 ranks to get your red dot sight or whatever.
But you choose what you purchase.
Oh. So but what's available for purchase is
right,
dated.
Right.
So you have so it's kind of like a medium between them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love the Battlefield series,
sure.
But it is ungodly slow to rank up, and there is a ridiculous amount of levels and unlockables. Does this seem far more faster and streamlined?
I've played 4 matches, and at least on PS4,
okay.
4 or 5. I'm ranked 3, like most of the way through 3. So pretty quick.
Okay.
Also, it's a beta. I don't know if they're boosting
true.
It
yeah,
or not.
I just remember 4 being so daunting and just like I was not interested in leveling up, just more so playing.
There's some things to look forward to. Like, I think at rank 5, I can unlock a jetpack for double jumps. Playing Destiny for so long, I tried, like, double jump and gliding, like, every time I jumped and could not do it.
This is the
Remember
problem.
Remember Titanfall?
Is there, yep. Oh, yeah. My God, I was just going to ask, isn't there a class that can glide? So, that's rough, because that was a key facet of the second one, was being able to use jetpacks.
Right.
Like, and
It seems like they're ramping you up at a decent pace, though. Like, learn your guns, and then... Learn how to use your grenades, and then learn this new special
what is
it, sniper
Mario
rifle.
Maker step?
Yeah, man.
Content. I know how to play a first-person shooter.
But I was getting something new every match
Do
or
you?
Two.
That's cute. I like
thing.
That. Were they big game changers, though, or it sounds like it's just kind of
I mean,
stuff.
Having grenades, yeah.
Yeah, well, of course, but you're still unlocking the basics
right.
right now.
One of the nice things in there is that even with grenades, you don't run out of ammo. Everything's just on cooldown there. So every 9 seconds, you have a new thermal detonator that you can throw.
Interesting.
Also, in this, was it drop zone thing? Whenever one of the pods is cleared, it'll drop the power-ups, and you'll get, a thermal imploder, which is an even bigger grenade that just destroys everything around it. You could get turrets to set up around your
mm-hmm.
the new objective. There's cool. some cool little power-ups there.
That's pretty sweet.
It kind of breaks up the action a bit.
Sure.
It's really nice.
Oh, and speaking of explosions and implosions, one thing I do want to note is from the footage I've seen, one thing they definitely nailed is the explosions
yes.
look just like a Star
yep.
Wars movie, which is very cool.
Lots of cool sounds. The blasters are spot
God,
on.
Nostalgia.
Yeah. Go try it. You have a couple days to play it for free on your console of choice or PC of choice.
Heck yes, and hopefully I will be happy next week to talk about
yes.
it.
Yes.
All right, well, that pretty much covers that one. I played something. I'm curious if any of you guys have heard of this or played it yet. The Beginner's Guide.
Heard of it.
Did some research on it. Did you play it?
I beat it.
Ooh.
Well, it's only an
Can
hour
you
and
beat
and
a
half,
walking simulator?
Yes. What? Yeah,
just
they're
just
linear.
Joke.
Yeah.
There's a story.
But, yeah, it was really good. I really enjoyed it. It's definitely a walking simulator. I mean, it is interactive, but it is not a game.
I hear it's sad.
I can neither confirm nor deny. I don't really... I'm not going to talk about the story
Henry
at all.
Henry doesn't have tear ducts, so...
That's certainly untrue, but I...
Do you cry blood?
I don't want to get into this, any
hardcore.
Of the specifics of the story beyond that it is the tale of the relationship between... a gamer and a developer, and that's all I'm going to say. It's very interesting. There's some really cool perspective in there. People are speculating that it is not a true story, but maybe is inspired by true events.
Right.
And so I wouldn't take everything you see at face value, but it's very, very interesting and a really cool story and a really interesting perspective to kind of see. It spoke to me in particular because of an experience earlier in my life, and so... I think that it's a very cool message that you can really only get from an artist. Mm-hmm. And that's the most I want to say about it. I'll be curious to, or I'm excited to speak more vaguely about it in the future with you guys once you guys played
yes.
it. But I would recommend it. Oh, and as a side note, it is by the guy who did the voice for the Stanley Parable.
Yep.
Oh,
so
I thought it was the
creators.
He's not the creator,
oh, okay.
and he's also, like, the level designer is a different person and
right.
stuff like that. I think it's important to, I want to make sure we differentiate. Because I would not say it is like the Stanley
it's Stanley.
Parable at all. Yes. Well,
so
no.
it's Stanley's story.
Kidding. Right. The guy's name isn't Stanley.
No. And also, Stanley is not the voice. But
oh,
anyways.
Excelsior.
Anyways, though, that was a lot of fun. And if you love video games and kind of are into the creative side of it, and also if you are into these kind of walking simulator type games, I'd recommend trying it out. You guys know I don't like walking simulators for the most part, but this one was a definite must buy.
If the story hits you right and it has... like the right amount of time put
Pete,
into it.
Did Gone Home hit you right?
No, I hated Gone Home.
PC only with this game?
Yes.
Yes, I believe
okay.
so. But yeah, so that's pretty cool. But,
or you can just go outside and walk around.
Now we can talk in a little bit more detail about something that I enjoyed thoroughly. Tom, why don't you tell us about your time with Hearthstone?
Yeah, so it was halftime of the Notre Dame Clemson game, and I
get ready for all the excuses.
I'm gonna lay them on. I was trying to play through. I had like two characters left. What was the one I started with? Like the
Tom
shaman.
Also thought the point was to get to zero as fast as possible.
You played druid and shaman.
So I have a hunter left. I'm on the hunter right now. And for those who haven't played the game, there's like 10 levels and you get different cards for leveling up. So I was just like playing online, trying to get through it. I see this message, and I had forgot you put my like gamer tag or whatever you call that thing into my finger. So I was like, who is this guy? And I kind of put it together and started playing.
I love how you couldn't figure out Hank is in the name.
I know.
What
bad.
Is that nickname?
It's
for?
Bad.
Good Lord. All
it's
right.
bad. I also used like my own name in there. I probably
yeah.
did not think that
anyway.
Too much.
Anyways, though.
So yeah, I was playing through it. And what I'll say about this is I think what I like about the game, because I haven't really played at a high level, obviously. I've
before
just been playing
you,
to get the
before
cards.
Before you skim over it, we got to play together.
We played together, yeah.
For about 3 hours.
So I was heading that direction, which tells you how long a college football game is. That was only the second half of a standard game. They're going really long now. But
don't they stop the time for, like, everything in college football?
Yeah, and there's a lot of commercials, and half of them are daily fantasy and stuff. But anyways, mm-hmm. Yeah, we were playing through. I got my ass whooped. There was one game I came close, I think. I got you down to 15 or something, which is
yeah,
halfway.
Yeah, I didn't. I wanted to be nice, and I didn't draw. I had two anti-keelbots in my hand, which is 16 health.
I just saw
16
things.
Health.
I hadn't seen like some of the stuff that you had played. And the one encouragement is that you can play that game a lot of different ways, which I didn't understand just from playing
basic. Yeah, my builds for different classes play pretty diversely. That's true.
I mean, Trevor May has been on our podcast. That guy has 8 legendaries or something. He can get his guys up to like 50 power or something. Yeah, it's absurd.
I didn't play my priest, but don't worry. I can do that too.
How many characters you guys end up playing? Because I haven't played through all the characters yet. I'm on the hunter, the last one.
I play all 9.
Yeah, okay. I was gonna say I have 9 full decks for
and it's reasonable to get good cards for 9 different characters.
Well, keep in mind this isn't like a physical card game.
Sure.
So you can reuse cards in multiple decks.
Yeah.
You only need 2 total of a single card, and then you can put it in all your decks if you want, as long as it's neutral. And yeah, absolutely. I mean, everything you saw from me, I haven't spent a dime on this game, so that's all free to play.
And that's encouraging. I didn't know, because when you unlock the cards, you know, in their first go around, you're only unlocking them for that one class, right?
Those are class specific.
Yeah, those are just the basic cards usually for each class.
And I didn't even I need to figure out how to build a deck and which cards go where, or whatever. But I guess I was encouraged that you haven't spent money on this and you can play at a sophisticated level. That's kind of the direction I'm going.
If I were you, I would look online, look at a pre-built deck that someone else has made.
He's never gonna ever make a deck if he never tries.
But this will give you ideas for building.
And I feel like it becomes intuitive.
What you can do.
I mean, it becomes intuitive over time.
Yeah. Also, how about this week's Tavern Brawl? I thought that was a really clever idea.
Is this
to
the
come
Noyatron
up.
One?
No, this is it's.
Oh, I haven't done it this week.
Oh, so for those of you that haven't done it, it's a card spitter machine. So basically, your first card is guaranteed. The first card you draw is going to be a 1 mana. The second card you draw is going to be a 2 mana, and it's guaranteed to be that level of mana as long as you have one of those cards. So the idea here is you put only one mana card in your deck, 1 2-mana card, 1 3-mana card, and then I overloaded the back end with all high levels, and so basically you're guaranteed to get the cards you want in the order you want them, and you just own people.
That's fun. Interesting. I'll have to rethink, because I always like play zoo style decks for the most part, or my favorite is like just decks with tons of 1 to 3 mana creatures that I can just spam with. So I guess I'll have to rethink this, because I usually disenchant most of my
I have never played
cards.
The Tavern Brawl for more than just to get my free deck, but this one I've been playing over and over again, because it's really fun to just play against people and see what, you know, because the goal is to win in like the first 3 or 4 moves basically, and it's pretty insane.
That's good. I really like these kinds of Tavern Brawls more than like what we had last week.
Right,
and
some thought goes
into Nefarian versus, well, thought goes into making the custom decks with the custom, you know, non-character players that you can try for the Tavern Brawl, but I think that they're not balanced very well. I think with the when they did the Nefarian and was it Sulfurous or I'm sorry, Ragnaros? No, yeah, I thought that the Nefarian had a huge advantage, and now they just did Annoyatron and Boombot, and oh my god.
Oh, that
god.
Was terrible.
I'm curious. I personally thought that Annoyatron had, like, a massive advantage.
The first couple games, I did not think he did, but then once I started playing more, I was like, oh, yeah, he definitely does.
Like, this is a better deck.
Because the bomb just gets pushed out. Yeah.
Well, and it had Dr. Boom in it, which is, like, one of the best legendaries in the game. It's, like, in the top 3. I don't know what... when are they going to nerf that thing? Anyways.
Never.
But anything else you wanted to... Sorry, we kind of stole your Hearthstone
No. I'm just encouraged by the game. Like, I don't know how much time I've sunk into it or how much I will, but, like...
That's kind of the best thing about it, though, because you can watch a game while you play it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, it's cool. It's nice for, like, if you have a 15, 30-minute time kill, you know, halftime of a football game.
Definitely.
Flip it on. Pretty encouraged with that one, and I don't know. Trevor May wanted you to know. He spent, like, $200 on it.
Of course he did.
He said he'll come on, too. Hopefully we can get him in the...
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Get him in the... offseason.
Maybe at some point we can put together... we'll see if we can maybe do, like, a little... match with all of us and Trevor, and we can do some recording and put it up on a site.
That'd be cool.
Yes. But anyways, that pretty much brings Hearthstone to a close. John, I think you said you'd played one more game this week.
Yeah. I played the new release this week, Transformers Devastation.
Oh. I bought it and downloaded it, but I haven't booted it up yet. How is it?
It's pretty cool. So do you like Devil May Cry?
Oh god.
Or
yes.
Bayonetta?
Or Legend of Korra.
Not so much Legend of
Korra. I like Legend of Korra.
It was garbage, dude.
Heard that was real bad. But if you like it, it's from Platinum Games.
I got it for a significant discount, so
yeah,
that's okay.
So what it is, it's old school Transformers, 80s Transformers that we all knew and loved growing up.
Yeah, it's like G1, right?
It's G1, Generation 1 for those not in the know.
Anti-nerds.
So
moving along.
There's not a lot to like set it up. You show up as Optimus Prime in a city. Stuff is going down. Megatron is going after this plasma energy. You're trying to stop him from getting it. Something's trying to what they call cyberform Earth, which is turning Earth
it's
into Cybertron.
But, yep.
but with robots.
That's great.
So Megatron wants to try to start this cyberforming.
Cool.
Process. Combat. It's a beat 'em up. So you have your combos, you have your light attacks, your heavy attacks. You also have Witch Time from Bayonetta, which I don't think they ever call it Witch Time.
I've never played Bayonetta, so that doesn't mean anything to
me. So what Witch Time is you have your dodge button. If you dodge at the right time, it slows down time. And then you're moving at normal speed.
Sure.
And so you can start getting combos off on people.
Fun.
So you kind of have to master this. The game gets kind of tough with some of the bosses.
Sure.
If you're pretty good at just dodging at the right time, you basically have free hits on anything.
Nice.
They use the vehicles really well. You can transform into the vehicle just by, I think it's just holding the right
trigger.
It's
holding the right trigger, and I actually have a question about that.
Yes.
One thing I did read about this was that is the same button you use for finishers, I think it was, and it can cause some issues, like key mapping was not perfectly done.
What
did you think about that? Like it's an attack or something that also uses right trigger.
It's your dodge.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, there's a couple things that are used by right trigger, but it's either pressing it in once or holding it down. So if you hold it down, that's when you transform.
Sure.
And there is like a good second before you transform. So I've dodged before and like, why am I not transforming?
Gotcha.
I wasn't holding it down enough. But once you're doing combos, if you do like four attacks, it'll tell you to hold or to press the right trigger. You'll transform into a car and then finish your combo, which is kind of cool.
That's actually awesome. So the cars are also like beat 'em up characters?
Yeah. Yeah, they're part
like
of your...
Like it doesn't... I assumed that those were like a mobility thing, like in Age of Cybertron
and stuff. They're both, so...
Because like in Age of Cybertron, correct me if I'm wrong, but basically you just had a gun when you were in car mode,
I think
right?
So,
You couldn't like punch or anything.
No, but when you're in your car in this, you can go up to full speed and you can break shields.
Oh,
so,
cool.
For me, I was playing it on PS4, so... If I drive up to somebody, they have a shield up, I hit triangle, you go into like the slow motion like uppercut, break their shield, and then it automatically gives you your vehicle attack to do, and then you could start going into another combo from there.
That is pretty cool.
So the combat's really smooth. It's really stylish, too. There's loot in the game, so you can have different swords, guns, hammers. Throughout the game, you'll get weapons for different Decepticons and Autobots.
Sure.
There's five different characters you could play as, so it's not just Optimus. It's Sideswipe, Bumblebee, Grimlock. Grimlock's great because he's a dinosaur.
I was going to say, isn't he a dinosaur?
And he just like chews people up, and you have to tap buttons for him to run like a goofy dinosaur.
That's his vehicle form,
That's his
right?
vehicle form,
yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So he plays kind of different from everyone else.
That's cool. I like that. That's actually really nice.
Everyone,
and it's the original voice actors too, right?
For the most part. Cullen is definitely Optimus Prime. I'm not sure about the other ones.
I know Megatron is the original one because I saw someone saying that you can kind of hear him aging a little bit in this one, which is fine. It just kind of sounds like he has a cold, they say.
Right.
But I think that's actually awesome that this guy has stayed employed in Transformers voice work for like 30 years.
I feel like he went away for a while. Like he wasn't in the movies.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Which that I wonder if that was partially because Megatron in the movies is like not Megatron.
Yeah. So there's a lot of complexity with the combat. But it's not as much as other games in the genre. So like
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Would you say it's more like God of War-ish than Devil May Cry?
It's like a mix of both, I guess.
I'm saying in terms of simplicity in the combat.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's usually like mash square or triangle until you get your vehicle attack, and then...
How does it hold up to the other Transformers games? Like
I didn't play
Fallen
the other ones,
War.
Actually.
Oh, I
really?
Loved...
You didn't play Age... Oh, they were great. No. I highly recommend them to people. Well, play them while you can, because they're going to be way too dated very soon.
So,
are they?
They're like, yeah, because they're Unreal Engine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to be way too
I would
too
probably
dated soon.
Check them out on PC if you can.
Yeah.
But those are more shooters, right? Those are like third-person shooters?
Well, yeah, they are a lot more third-person shooter.
Oh, absolutely, but they're very
so
well done.
This is more like
games.
Get in shooter there universe. And start slicing people up or punching dudes.
So why would... How was it fully developed by...
Platinum?
Yeah, because like they totally butchered the Korra franchise license, but they
Dude,
were fine.
Nobody
with...
expected anything out of that, but you.
I
you're
did.
Just salty about
I
it.
I did.
That was like. Ugh.
So I'm a big fan of.
So am I.
Of The Last Airbender.
Yeah, so am I.
But I've watched like the first like season games. And a half of Korra. No, they don't, and I wish they did.
I mean, here's the thing: as much as I like The Last Airbender, it's Nickelodeon. Like that. What do you mean? Nickelodeon.
Yeah, but I mean,
I'm not wrong.
Korra was
that.
pretty dark and adult themed.
But Nickelodeon.
No, I know.
Let me finish
okay.
my damn sentence.
The money and the investments were not there.
Yeah, exactly. Nickelodeon has never. I mean, can you name one really good Nickelodeon licensed product game?
Real Monsters
SpongeBob
for the Super
something.
Nintendo.
I think the only thing I even remember was the Rugrats games on N64, and those were like
actually
garbage.
The no. The Mario Party version.
At the time, you were like
actually
eight, so
fun.
You probably did like
for,
them.
There was a Rugrats Mario Party game or something like
oh,
that.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah,
fair
yeah.
enough.
Yeah, I mean Henry's right. I probably
Angry
was
Beavers.
Eight,
but,
let's remember that at the time we played these games, we were also children.
Ren and Stimpy videos was pretty
are
bad.
We not still.
Well, now we're critical children. Before we were just
Tom's still
kids.
A child.
Yeah, there you go. But it sounds good. I'm excited to try it out.
The downside for that game is that the world is kind of bland.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of small,
yeah,
too,
what,
right?
Are there a lot of environments, or is it all the same cityscape?
There's a couple. So there's the city, and the city's kind of Metroid-styled, where you have to unlock certain things to get to different areas.
Yeah.
You'll see a lot of the same places a lot. They try to play around with the combat a bit, too, by making, like, a side-scrolling shooter or something like Galaga. Those are kind of fun. They don't always work, though.
A little gimmicky.
Yeah. But it's nice enough to break it up a bit. And it's pretty short. It beat it in, like, 5 or 6 hours.
That's
and what was the retail price?
$50.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's not full price.
It's not full price, but it's not...
So $10 an hour.
About, yeah. But I enjoyed it. This is another one that I rented. So
Yeah. Forgot.
Which is fine.
I may end up getting a refund and renting it after hearing how short it is. Does it have like any online longevity or anything?
Nope.
Yeah, probably gonna go return this one.
Yeah, it's all story mode.
Yeah.
As far as I've seen. But there are 5 different characters you could play as. My warning to anybody playing: pick a character that you like and build up their stats. Because you can pump stats into people. You can create perks for the characters. There's actually a lot of depth in customizing your characters, but there's not enough experience or money in that game to do it for all 5.
Okay.
Which kind of sucks. But I had a lot of fun with it. Beat it in a day. Definitely a better Activision product than Tony Hawk was.
Wow, that's saying
most were.
Something.
Most were.
I'm surprised, though. That you would even compare it. It seemed like you were so, liking
so
it. Actually, can you tell us what you're thinking about Tony Hawk now? Because last week you were saying you hadn't played enough to make a statement.
Right.
On it.
I made it to the next level, which was the School 3. Like, level-wise, it was more interesting, but it's not.
You're pretty much done with that one?
I'm super done with that game. the frame rate was, like, way worse on that level. It's about half the size of the original school level.
Oh, wow. How did they... Just really quick. How did they mess this up so badly? I don't understand.
It sucks.
It's this company. It's the same guys who did the Tony Hawk HD, and that was also... How do you mess that up? You could literally just release one that is a modern aspect ratio of the original Tony Hawk, and people would love it.
Yep.
How do you mess up something that you perfected in, like, the late 90s, or I guess early 2000s?
Well, Neversoft perfected it, and Neversoft is no longer there.
Sure, so. But, yeah, that's fair enough. But, I mean, is it the same, does Neversoft, they were developing it, right? Like,
yeah.
Who's the production company behind that?
The publisher?
Yeah.
Activision.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so they
haven't
changed.
It's under the same umbrella,
yeah, I mean,
but
that's
kind
of what I was
getting
at.
Who made it aren't there.
Right.
They were spread around making maps for Call of Duty.
But I'm sure they own all the rights to the old Tony Hawk's games, Activision.
But the people who knew how to make it good probably aren't there anymore.
Sure, sure. So. Fair enough. Just steal the code.
Yeah.
They have all the code.
You can do that, right? You can just put code from an N64 game onto a PS4.
That's exactly how it works.
That's what they tried with HD, and they just jacked it up.
HD, they did a lot more than just copy-paste code.
They did that, but they also...
I should stop saying that. That was a joke, by the way, you guys. I know you can't just do that.
Yeah, they took like the skeleton of all the maps that they remade, and then they put it in Unreal, but messed it up in that... things were sized differently. The collision detection for things were completely jacked up.
The feel of it was gone. It's just interesting, you know. I don't know. It's just interesting to me because I feel like, just why would you give this the same developers the game after they've flopped? This is like their third failed Tony Hawk game, right? Not mainstream Tony Hawk, but they had a couple mobile ones too, I think, that were garbage. Yeah. What a disappointment.
It's the last year of Tony Hawk's contract with Activision, apparently. So
please, someone else buy it and make a good one.
Yeah, EA, hey, if you want to make Blizzard. Skate 4 featuring Tony
Blizzard
Hawk.
Blizzard would be awesome.
Yeah, Blizzard, it would end up being another MOBA or something. Like,
hey, if I can skate around as Zeratul, let's do it.
That'd be so sick.
Just skate.
Oh, that'd be great. All right. Well, that's pretty much it for Transformers. Yep. I got one more game I want to talk about. I know this is a little bit of old news, but I just got around to it. I am playing Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls patch 2.3, the new patch. And it is awesome.
It's still a good game. I played that a little
bit. It's better even. They increased drop rates again.
Did you play the new area at all?
Yeah. I got my cube and everything.
Oh yeah.
I mean, gamer confessions. I definitely like binge played that game, and in like 2 days basically, and created a new seasonal Witch Doctor because I hadn't maxed the Witch Doctor yet. It was the only one I hadn't, and now I have a maxed Witch Doctor as well 2 days later. And I grabbed the cube, and it's very, very cool. I'm really liking
that cube do again?
So Kanai's cube is the modern version of the Herodric cube from Diablo 2, and it can be used to sort of tweak items, essentially, and also you can rip the permanent effects off legendaries and equip them as a passive skill.
That's
which
awesome.
Is very cool. For example, on my barbarian, I have a legendary pair of boots that make it so that when I jump, or when I use leap, rather, it doesn't trigger the cooldown for 2 seconds, so I can leap twice more before it actually
starts the
cooldown. And I'm going to rip that effect off, and I can equip it as a passive bonus, one of three passives. You can have at any time, and then I can get a new best in socket for my boots that's not being limited by a cool ability, which I'm enjoying the crap out of. My Witch Doctor also just got a really cool legendary that whenever I cast a spell, it creates clones of me that can also cast my spells with me, and it's really overpowered because I'm doing damage over time and like summoning build. I'm having a blast. You can use it to upgrade rares to legendaries. You can use it to re-roll a legendary. Mm-hmm. You can use it to... there's a bunch of stuff. I'm just trying to think here. It's basically just for upgrading and tweaking items for the most part. And the main thing that I've used it for is upgrading rares and stripping legendaries of their extra effects. They simplified the professions. Jewel crafting they took out like half of the types. Also crafting, they got rid of every tier of crafting items except for the highest tier. So basically from level one, you're collecting the top tier of crafting materials, except for you can't get the Death's Breath until you hit 61.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed, too, that when you get plans for blacksmithing, they
so
give you the whole set.
Yeah, they do now, and it's really, really convenient. I haven't used any yet because I always tend to, you level so fast in this game. Like now that I think, and I could be mistaken on this, but it feels like they rebalance the difficulties pretty huge.
Well, they added five more levels of torment.
Well, I know that, but also at level 70, the second I hit 70, I was playing at master with level 50 gear basically, and not having problems and stuff. So I was just a little surprised. I mean, I played torment 1 up to level 65, and then had to finally scale it back 1. But the difficulty seems a little rebalanced, but I'm okay with it because I've always been okay with it. I never thought Diablo was really about the leveling too much. They also, I'm just trying to think, they did a bunch of really cool stuff.
That new area was something that
I
really liked.
Yeah, everyone really freaked out about that. Honestly, that's probably my least favorite edition. Really? I don't really care. I mean, this is a game that is infinite randomly generated zones. A new area is not all that exciting. It's not like they added in a new area like Heaven. They added in a new area like Oasis North. Or whatever. Like, it's one zone, basically, with a couple sub-zones. It's not like it's a whole new,
but I like the look of it. I like the music there. The music's super somber. I like the story that they made for Kanai.
Sure.
Which was actually a developer for
Blizzard. It's so sweet. He's, an art director, right?
Yeah.
From two, I think, or something?
He passed away last year, I want to say. And so they actually have a memorial for him in that level. As a throne room.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And his character from Diablo 3 is actually sitting in the throne and the armor he liked to wear.
It's probably the sweetest tribute I've seen since the Phoenix mount.
Mm-hmm.
It's in WoW, which was also very cool.
And Blizzard just does things the right way.
Blizzard is the best. They know how to do. And in case I didn't mention it, Blizzard, thank you so much. Diablo 3 is a game that you pay for, and then you just get all this stuff for free. This was a totally free update, really unbidden, if you think about it. Like, nobody was asking for it, per se. I think we were all just waiting for the next expansion, if there's even going to be one.
But that game has also sold, 30 million copies, so it has done its due diligence for them.
Yeah, well, and then, especially because of the tiered releases, because, Reaper of Souls was the first time it came to console and stuff like that. But it's excellent. If you like Diablo 3, grab it. If you had issues with loot drop rates, they seem to have significantly increased, particularly for plans.
It's real good.
Yeah, it's a blast. I can't really go more than 10-15 minutes now that I'm 70 without getting one or two legendaries, and it's so much more enjoyable. I highly recommend it. If you've got D3, you might as well just reinstall it and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all I have played this week. Did anybody else want to jump in with any additional topics or anything?
No, I'm glad you brought up Diablo 3, though. I played that sparingly, and it's fun.
It's great. Oh, and I'm pretty sure this patch is also free for console as well.
Yes.
I think
you're right.
Yeah, it should be.
Yes.
I was thinking the only thing that they haven't added for consoles are seasons. So.
Right. I am playing in the new season, and it's my first time doing a seasonal character.
It's fun. You don't lose anything by doing it.
Well, you do. You don't have access to your player stash at all.
Right.
The shared stash.
It doesn't matter after all your crafting recipes go away.
It does. I mean, all of my, first of all, I have a bunch of really good Witch Doctor items I was saving up. But also, all my crafting materials are gone, which is a really big deal. I guess I should talk about this. One other thing that they added is the materials you primarily use for Kanai's Cube are a huge pain in the butt to farm. Mm-hmm. This is probably my only complaint about this, is you get them by finishing all the bounties in a given act. However, you still can't choose what act your bounties are in. So right now I need one of each to do a legendary item, or it might be five of each to strip the effects off a legendary.
Mm-hmm.
But I have 12 of one, 9 of another, and then 6 of a third, I haven't even gotten 2 acts worth of them because I just haven't gotten. It's act 1 and I think 3 just have never procced for me, and so I guess at some point I'm going to have to just get a group.
You never just go to your map and go to that act? And
The bounties are
there.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
I
go through all 5 acts with the bounties.
Yeah.
Pick a side.
And you have to do them sequentially. You cannot just switch acts and have bounties there. I know this for a fact.
Totally do it.
No, you can't.
I want to see a fight.
No, we'll
settle it over Hearthstone.
Next week, next week we'll find out once and for all, and we'll answer which one of us is correct. But I'm positive about this because I played it yesterday.
John appears positive.
I do all 5.
To be continued.
And then I log out and then log back in, and all my.
In other news, I did play some more.
That's not what I said. I said that you can't choose which act you do the bounties in. You have to do it sequentially. If all the bounties are in Act 3 when you first start, you have to do that act's bounties. Then it switches to a different act.
No, I usually just go to whichever one has the bonus.
I played some more Angry Birds Star Wars 2.
It was really exciting.
When we did
our sound check, you didn't laugh like that, Tom.
I beat the attack.
Laugh
of
like
the,
that next time.
Apologize to the listeners.
Second part.
I'm far from the mic here.
You're welcome, listeners.
That's Tom.
That's exciting. All right. Well, I think that we're done today. So this has been procedurally generated. We hope you've enjoyed listening to the show, and please be sure to check us out on Audioboom, iTunes, and also now on Twitter, where you can follow us at PG_show. That's PG_show. Follow us. We're going to be posting some fun, you know, commentary and possibly links to future events and stuff that we work on. So, yeah, thanks for listening. And as always, game on.